Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome, my beautiful listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. You are listening to How Do You See It, brought to you, your one and only host, Miriam Dista, along with my editor, Yusmalem Tekley. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are going to continue discussing about cultural awareness, diversity, and how we can teach our kids, our little ones, of how they can become more competent on this very diversifying world that we are having right now. So we're going to continue discussing this with Dr. Samantha. And as you heard, last week we asked her how she came into this business, how she got into this career, and what it means, what cultural competence means to her, diversity means to her, and how does she see it. And she has told us that it has more than one definition for cultural competence, and she has explained to us what it means to her. And as you remember, we stopped at, she was explaining how if a kid see a person on a wheelchair and asks you what he was doing on the wheelchair, what does it mean? She was kind of explaining that to us, right? So we're just going to continue from that discussion and listen to her point of view about cultural competence. Dr. Samantha is a ma'am who also have a multicultural family, and she's a licensed psychologist. So we're going to continue listening to this, and I hope it will be very informative and very, very beautiful interview to listen to and to learn from. Thank you so much. Please write to us at worldperspectiveshow@gmail.com or tweet us at @howdoyou_see_it. So today, because of the shortage of time, we're just going to blow through break and listen to the interview. And when we come back, we'll talk about it some more. Have fun. Thanks so much for tuning in, listeners. You are listening to How Do You See It? Today, we're discussing with Dr. Samantha about cultural competence, and we're having fun here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once you start talking about this issue to them, it's really difficult to tell a kid that you already told you that that man doesn't have a leg, and you're going to tell him that, yes, but it's okay kind of thing. How do you say it? It's really, I think it's more difficult for kids to explain these things because they do have very, very amazing questions that are going to follow along, you know?
Sure.
So how do you tell them in a very nice way and at the same time teaching them how that is okay?
Let me see how to answer that. That's a great question. So saying something like, you know, yes, that man is missing a leg, and you know, he's in a wheelchair, and do you know what a wheelchair is? I am a huge fan of kind of answering a child's question with, you know, facts and the information that you have, and then having them ask, and then asking them more questions, right?
Okay.
To kind of get their minds moving about what it is that means. So, yes, that man doesn't have a leg, and, you know, he uses a wheelchair, and, you know, what do you think about that? Have you ever seen a wheelchair before? Does anyone at your school use a wheelchair? Because I guess that there might be some kids at their school that have wheelchairs, or someone who comes into the school, a parent or something like that, who has a wheelchair. And kind of helping your kid to create these different connections. That just because somebody is missing a leg or something like that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with them. I think that's the overall message you want to send to a child, that just because that's different from the things that you usually see, that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with that person, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably the most important thing that you want to say. Did I answer your question?
Yes, I think kids are challenging, and I even came up with some questions that they might ask you when you answer that kind of question, like how do you know about wheelchair, and you're going to talk about wheelchairs and everything. And but they might come up and say, so they can't dance, or like they can't run. You know, this type of questions are what kids are very very much prompt to ask most of the time.
Those are great questions. And the thing that I always tell parents is if you know the answer to that, you know, if it's a question that you know the answer to, feel free to ask to answer it. If it's something that you don't know the answer is, what the answer is, you say, that's a great question. Let's find out together. I mean, we have a wonderful thing called the internet.
Yes, correct.
And can answer pretty much any question that you have, right? And
Yeah.
I think the thing that is so important for parents to remember when talking to their kids about cultural competence is you do not know all the answers. And you do not have to tell your child the answers to everything. You're not going to know all of them. And that's okay. That's completely okay. I mean, if my child asked me, you know, basic questions, you know, I have a 5-year-old and he asked me questions about like, what is, you know, 10 plus 10? And we talk about that. That's a question I can answer. You know, when he gets to be 17 and he asked me questions about calculus, I'm not going to know the answer. And there's nothing wrong with that. There is, you can't expect as a parent to know everything about everything. That's a setup. That's just completely unfair to parents, and it's completely unfair to kids because it makes it seem as if you need to know the answers in order to be, you know, culturally competent, or you need to always know the right thing to say in order to be culturally competent. And that is just 100% not the case. And it's not something that we want to kind of pass along to our kids. So, you know, if you know the answer to a question, go ahead and answer it. If you don't know the answer, say, that's a great question. I'm not sure. Let's look it up and learn together.
Perfect. That was exactly what I was going for. That was a very beautiful answer. I'm kind of wondering how you see the level of difficulty as far as creating the awareness goes about diversity, because you work both with parents and kids. So is it easier to do it for kids than adults?
That's a hard question. You have some good questions today. You know, I think so. I think it's much harder to do it for adults than it is for kids, because adults have these ideas in their head already of what cultural competence is. So basically, I'm going to go into the psychology of it. So basically, as you go along in your life, you develop these things called schema, right? Based on the experiences you have, the things that you've learned about, you have something in your mind called a schema of different concepts. So for example, most people have a schema in their head of holidays, right? Let's say Thanksgiving, right? So on Thanksgiving, you know, every Thanksgiving you go to grandma's house, grandma makes the turkey, mom makes the green beans, dad watches the football game, and that is Thanksgiving in a nutshell. And then you eat yourselves silly and, you know, eat pie at the end. That's your schema of Thanksgiving. But not everybody's Thanksgiving looks like that, right? But as you get older and older, and that's the thing that you do every single time, you kind of start to that starts to get ingrained in your mind as fact, right? That this is Thanksgiving. And if you do it differently, that is different. That is not quite Thanksgiving. Or if yours, you know, deviates too far from that, then that's not quite Thanksgiving, right? And the more and more that you do these different traditions or different concepts and ideas, then the more and more it gets kind of ingrained in your head. So the older you get, the more concrete your schema becomes, right? And it's harder to break that the older and older you become. When you're a child, you either A, have not celebrated, you know, a certain thing very many times. So if you change it from year to year, it's not a big deal because you've only done it once before. And also, if you're a really young child, then you don't even remember what happened last year, right? Let's say it's something that happens yearly, like Thanksgiving again. You know, if you're 3 years old and the last time you celebrated Thanksgiving was when you were two, that was like, you know, a third of your life ago. That was a pretty long time ago. And you probably just don't remember it, right? So kids tend to not have to hold, they're not holding on to the concept of what these different things are quite as tightly as adults are. And I'm here bringing up something like Thanksgiving. That's pretty benign, right? But what if I fill in the blank with race, right? What if I fill in the blank with gender? What if I fill in the blank with marriage? and what marriage means, and, you know, sexual orientation. Any one of those different things, you can fill in the blank, and it's very hard to break those schema that adults have. It's much easier to do it with kids, much, much, much easier. Even though adults are able to do something called metacognition, which is what which is basically thinking about thinking. Mm-hmm. So the thoughts that you have, you can think about those. That's much more difficult for kids, something that's developing in them. So adults are better at understanding that the whole concept of cultural competence is important, but it is more difficult for them to break the schema or the ideas of these concepts that they already have than it is for kids.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's really good. So this word schema, is it like something like a blueprint that we develop as we grow up?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that you use that word blueprint. That's a great way of thinking about it. Yeah, yeah. So and I think that the more, you know, I think when you start off in your life with a certain blueprint, right? You know, you're like, okay, this is a good idea, you know, this is a good concept, but the more and more it happens, the more it gets ingrained, then it becomes like pretty solid in your mind. You know, something that probably becomes solidified a little bit earlier in your life is something like going to school, right?
Yeah.
We go to school every single day and spend lots of hours there, right? So it kind of gets solid in your mind that, okay, I get up, I go, you know, I brush my teeth, I, you know, get dressed, I have breakfast and I go to school. These are things that you do every day. So it's something that becomes pretty solid in your mind, you know, as you get older and older. You know, by the time you're, you know, if you've been going to school since you were, you know, 5 years old in kindergarten, by the time you're 7 or 8, it's really an expectation, right? You know that every day I get up, I brush my teeth, I get dressed, and I go to school, you know, that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If you do something every year, it takes longer to solidify. Right.
Yeah.
So the blueprints, I guess, can become kind of deeper and deeper the more frequently you do something. Mm-hmm. But it's also, I think the important thing is too, there's also the absence of things, right? So if you live in a town where being gay is not acceptable and you feel like you never see a gay person, which is just, statistically not accurate. Like, there are definitely gay people in your town. You just don't know it. But let's say you're in a town where being gay is just not acceptable, right?
Mm.
You never see, quote unquote, a gay person in your town. So the absence of that, the absence of seeing that, you know, gay people are normal and they live their lives just like any straight person would. The absence of that also creates a schema, right? It also makes you think, okay, like this is different. The way that somebody lives their life or who they love or whatever the case may be, that is different from what I'm used to. And so the schema for what a family should look like or the schema for what a romantic relationship should look like is different from what I've seen before. And so this idea of someone of the same sex, two people of the same sex having a relationship is just way too, it's outside of my schema. But if a child is introduced to that at a very young age, let's say you have friends who are gay and they come to the house and they get introduced to your child, that schema is not going to be solid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's not just the presence of things that creates these different schema, it's also the absence of things. And I think that's something that's really important to consider as well.
That's a very, very good point. What do you think, listeners? Please write us at worldperspectiveshow@gmail.com or tweet at us at @howdoyou_see it. This is a very interesting discussion we're having here. Today we're talking with Dr. Samantha. So, okay, we're talking about all this cultures, how we have different cultures, about diversity and everything. And we're trying to teach other people about cultures, right? About our cultures, about some other person's culture and everything. So what is great about having all this diversity? There must be something great about it. That's why we're trying to, you know, teach it all around, right? So what is great about having all this diversity, in your opinion?
Sure. I think everything. Right? I think everything's great about it. It just stretches you to, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about emotional growth. It definitely contributes to someone's emotional growth. It also helps you understand, I think that you know, exposing yourself to people who are different you helps you better understand yourself, right? And it better helps you understand, kind of solidifies who you are personally, and what your beliefs are and what your values are. And just because, you know, the way that you live your life, whatever that is different from somebody else, doesn't mean that what they're doing is bad. But I think stretching yourself emotionally, I think stretching yourself culturally is very, very similar to stretching yourself emotionally. And I think too, it's fun, right? Doing
yeah.
things that are different is fun, right? Mm-hmm. I think, you know, so often we get stuck in kind of these rituals and doing the same things over and over again. I'm sorry. I mean, and this is partly my own personal opinion, because I tend to get bored really easily. I think that doing the same thing over and over again is just about as boring as it gets. I think that exposing yourself to things that are different, exposing yourself to food that's different, exposing yourself to people who are different. I mean, who knows? When you're a child, you don't know who you really are, right? That is developing. And being able to expose yourself to different things, you know, forces you to really develop this idea of who you are in a way that, you know, not learning about new things and not exposing yourself to new things, you know, I don't think you grow as much. And I think that, you know, who knows, maybe you end up having a passion for cooking, you know, different kinds of cuisines, and that becomes your passion. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have a passion for, changing your religion, and you decide that the religion that you've grown up with your whole life, it just never resonated with you. And then you expose yourself to a different religion. You said, this is more who I am. Maybe you meet the love of your life, the person that you were meant to be with for the rest of your life. And, you know, they're from a different country, and you end up moving to a different country. I mean, and maybe that's the life that you were supposed to lead. Maybe that's what's really going to make you happy. So I think that, you know, exposing ourselves to all these different things really allows us to grow and to change and to experience new things in a way that kind of sitting in one spot just doesn't. It just doesn't. And the fact of the matter is, too, I think it's important to consider that no matter who you are and what you want to do with your life and how you want to live your life, our world is shrinking. There is no getting around that. The people, you know, people who you live next door to you are not going to be the only people you're going to be in contact with. Technology is bringing us closer and closer in the world. It's getting easier and easier for companies to do business overseas. And you need to expand yourself. It just is kind of, I think it's an emotional necessity, but I also think that it's very much a financial and economic necessity as well.
That's a very good point. And just to point out, by the way, this show is all about our perception, so don't worry about putting your idea out there. So I'm asking you because this is the show. The name of the show is called How Do You See It? So I want to know about your point of view, and we want to learn from your point of view. So what's your perception towards what diversity might bring in 20 years from now?
Sure. That's a really interesting question. I think that diversity is really going to become international in a way that's just going to kind of explode. I think that, you know, living in America, Washington, D.C., I see how learning another language, for example, has become much, much more popular than it was previously, and people are understanding the importance of knowing another language. I see in other countries around the world that so many other people know other languages. You can travel to so many parts of the country and, you know, tons of people know English, but here in America, I feel like, you know, being monolingual is pretty much the norm. And I also think that kind of international travel is going to become so much more easy. I think that transportation to other countries, both by air and, you know, in other ways, is just going to become so much easier. So it's going to be easier to just interact with people from different countries in a way that's not the case today. I think that, you know, a lot of businesses do business internationally. But I think kind of the everyday average, you know, average Joe here in America, we don't interact with people on an international basis, kind of in our everyday lives. And again, that's I know it's the perspective show, but that's my perspective. I think that that's going to become less and less the case. I think that we're going to be interacting with people from other countries on a much more regular basis, because it's just going to become easier than it was, you know, 20 years ago.
Nice. That's a very good perception. In addition to working with kids and parents, you have a YouTube channel called Just for Fun Friday for kids, correct?
That's right. Yes.
I have seen some of those videos, and they are very funny. They're very interesting, actually. And it's a very good way of teaching kids what they can find as fun from that, from those books and everything that you recommend for that episode. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So Just for Fun Friday was really born because, I was asking kind of the people that I worked with and the people who subscribe to my newsletter, and we can talk a lot about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
What would make talking about cultural competence easier? What would make it more fun? How would you engage with it more? And they said, make it accessible and make it easy, make it fun. And I said, okay, let me think a little bit about that. So my feeling is really, if you sit down with your three-year-old and say, today we're going to talk about diversity, you both will be bored to tears in about 30 seconds, right?
Yes.
your two or three-year-old will squirm out of their seat and they'll be like, no. And if you do that with your 17-year-old, let's face it, they'll be like, I'm going to go to the mall with my friends, right?
Yeah.
So same thing. So I think my idea was that it's really important to kind of infuse diversity throughout your life. It's not about like sitting down and having like some tough conversation, although that should happen. And that is something that can and should happen kind of later on down the line as your kid gets older and as you have more conversations. But if you want to introduce the idea of diversity to your life and your child's life, do it in a fun way that they can relate to. So the idea behind Just for Fun Fridays is to take the things that you already do with your child, like reading, like watching TV shows, like coloring,
mm-hmm.
and putting diversity into it instead of the other way around, instead of taking diversity and being like, okay, we're going to do this today because it's important for diversity. No. What does your child already do? What are they already into that you can infuse diversity into? So so kind of giving parents a little bit of a tutorial about how to do that and questions to ask and things to point out and activities to do as you're doing things that you would already, normally do with your kids.
Okay, that's very good. So thank you so much for all the answers you've given us. I really, really enjoyed talking to you. Can you please tell us how people can find you, what you do, and every information that you can give us?
Sure, absolutely. So I have a website. It's called www.culturallycompetentkids. And you can go there, and the best thing to do is to sign up for my newsletter, and you'll get weekly contact with me, so you'll be able to find out more about the Just for Fun Friday items, my latest blog post, different events that I'm going to be doing, some just basic tips and tricks for you to kind of put into your household and put into your life, so that talking about diversity, so when it comes time to talk about these things that are more difficult, things that, you didn't expect to have to talk about, or you aren't 100% comfortable talking about, it'll be easier, right? Because if you kind of have this as part of your everyday life and it feels normal to your child and it feels normal to you, then it's easier to do later on down the line, to have those, much more difficult conversations later on down the line. So visit my website, check out Just for Fun Friday, sign up for the newsletter, and I hope that you really enjoy it. I have a quick survey on my homepage as well for people to fill out so that I get good information about how to make this even better and how to make it even more useful for everybody, because, I want it to be something that's fun and something that people feel is easy to use, because if it's not, they won't do it. You won't do it, right?
Yes. Perfect. Thank you so much, Dr. Sananta. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and for giving us very insightful things about culture, diversity, and how we can become and how our kids can become more competent. And I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
You are listening to How Do You See It? And we have finished speaking with Dr. Sananta, and I hope you've enjoyed the discussion we had. Please let us know what you think at worldperspectiveshow@gmail.com or tweet at us at @how_do_you_see_it. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.
Well, wasn't she amazing? And didn't you learn something now? Don't you have another perception towards culture, diversity? And when we say about culture, it's not only about, you know, the way we dress, the way we eat and everything. It's not only about that. It might be, as she said, it might be about gender issues, marriage, anything that can, that you think is different, right? So I think diversity is being different, but difference is beauty. And how can we incorporate that in our life and teach our little ones of how they can become more competent? Right? That was the whole show. And I believe you have taken something from it. It's a very entertaining, it's a very informative show. I have one joke for you related to kids. Okay, so a high school had a policy that the parents must call the school if a student was to be absent for the day. Okay, so I'm just going to change the name and call her Kelly. Kelly, deciding to skip school and go to the mall with her friends, waited until her parents had left for work and called the school herself. This is actually the conversation of the telephone call. Kelly: "Hi, I'm calling to report that Kelly so-and-so is unable to make it to school today because she is ill." Secretary at the high school replied, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I will note her absence. Who is this calling?" Kelly: "This is my mother." Well, she did not pull that off, right? Okay, so I just wanted to use something related to kids. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I really would love to hear from you. So please write me at worldperspectiveshow@gmail.com. And when I'm on air, you can call in at 929-477-1328. And hope you had a beautiful, beautiful weekend. And I want you to go out there and make the rest of the week count, because we are here for a reason. Until we're going to be gone, as long as we are on this earth, please make your stay here count, because whatever you do, you don't know it, but you're going to make a difference in someone else's life. So please make your stay here count, because we're here for the reason. Thank you so much. I really would love to hear from you about what you think of today's topic and the show in general. This show is growing because of you, because of my beautiful listeners, and I'm very thankful and very honored to have you listen to my show. Please tell me what I can add and what I can alter in order to make this a better show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until we meet next time, I'll see you next time, and thank you so much for tuning in. I'm sorry I messed that up. So until I'll see you next time, have a beautiful weekend and make it count, as I said. Thank you. Bye.